It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. The Juneau School District is hiring a familiar face to serve as its new chief financial officer. On Friday, the district announced Lisa Pierce would take over the role in July. She is a school finance consultant who previously worked as the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District's chief financial officer. Pierce played a critical role in the Juneau District finances this year. She was temporarily hired in December to take over after the district's previous director of administrative services, Casey Olin, abruptly resigned following the results of an audit showing the Juneau School District with a $2 million deficit in its operating account. Olin had moved to Juneau after serving several years as the business manager in the Sitka School District. Lisa Pierce ultimately resolved Juneau's deficits, but not without difficulty. The district took out a loan of more than $4 million from the city to address this year's budget deficit, and next year's budget relies on school closures and a reduction in staff. In a statement, Superintendent Frank Hauser applauded Pierce's, quote, skill set, commitment to transparency, and forward-thinking approach. Pierce's role as chief financial officer replaces the Juneau District's former director of administrative services position. She will be in charge of preparing the district's budget, fiscal plans, and projections each year. Lawmakers in the House and Senate are racing to craft a bill that would allow homeschool programs to continue. That's after a recent ruling that threw out two key homeschool laws as unconstitutional, leaving parents of more than 20,000 homeschool students wondering what next school year will look like. Legislators are hoping to pass a bill in the next week or so that would provide parents with some clarity on what's ahead. But as Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, there's some disagreement on the best approach.
In the Senate, Anchorage Democrat Lukey Tobin is pitching a bill that she says would basically restore the homeschool system that existed before the 2014 law that was ruled unconstitutional.
That was the most recent example we have of a constitutionally sound correspondence allotment program.
A judge says Alaska's current allotment program is not constitutionally sound because it allows parents to use state homeschool funding for tuition at private schools. That violates a section of the state constitution barring the use of public money for private or religious education. Tobin's bill aims to address the judge's concerns. For one thing, if the bill becomes law, there would be stricter rules on how homeschool funds, known as allotments, can be spent. Students would also no longer be allowed to opt out of state testing, as they currently are under a 2016 law. Tobin says that's an effort to assess whether homeschooled students are keeping up with state standards.
One of the things we've heard pretty repeatedly here in the legislature is that we need more accountability data, and one of the strongest tools of accountability is receiving that assessment data.
The bill has received significant pushback during public hearings from homeschool parents. Some take issue with the bill's requirement that unspent allotments be returned at the end of the year. Some parents say they save up allotment funding to spend on college classes that allow their students to get ahead. Others object to the bill's restrictions on purchases, saying things like ski passes, gym memberships, and travel to cultural events play a key role in their children's education. The testing requirement is another source of criticism, including from Governor Mike Dunleavy and his administration. At a news conference on May 1st, Dunleavy said it could be inconvenient for homeschool families who value flexibility.
One is in Kazakhstan. The family is. And the job requires them to be there March, April, May. And homeschool goes on all year long. And the state or whoever decides to do testing in March, what do we do with those folks?
Just 14% of students at Alaska's largest statewide correspondence school participated in state reading and math tests last year. But speaking remotely alongside Dunleavy, Education Commissioner Dina Bishop said that's no cause for alarm.
I don't have a concern. In fact, statistically speaking, a 14% return is an excellent way to understand how a survey or some type of program, if you look at any type of research, is doing.
A day after the judge in the homeschool case declined to put the ruling on hold beyond the end of June, Dunleavy came out in support of a House bill that would take its own approach toward fixing the constitutional issues with the homeschool program. The sponsor, Soldotna Republican Representative Justin Ruffridge, says his bill would task the State Board of Education with coming up with new homeschool regulations. The rules would specifically abide by the Alaska Constitution's ban on using state funds for private or religious education.
Well, it was essentially trying to find what is the most simple way to say an individualized learning plan should exist and an allotment should be able to be paid as long as it is paid in accordance with constitutional language.
He says the drafting of detailed rules should be up to people more familiar with the day-to-day operations of correspondent schools rather than the legislature. The bill would also require the state to monitor how allotments are spent. At public hearings, homeschool parents have generally offered support for that approach, though what rules the state board would roll out are a question mark at this early stage. And it's unclear at this point which approach will win out, but lawmakers have to act fast. The legislature's regular session must adjourn by midnight on May 15th. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Over the winter, sailors in the Atlantic posted disturbing videos on social media of killer whales bumping their boats and, in at least one case, biting and disabling the rudder. While this behavior is not common, most of us in Southeast Alaska were glad it was happening half a world away. But recently this spring, a juvenile killer whale near Juneau exhibited behavior that, though ultimately harmless, was just as frightening. KTOO's Anna Canny has the story.
It was a sunny Friday in Juneau, and Lindsay Bloom was eager to get outside and enjoy it.
I was like, okay, I'm going to go for a little paddleboard. I'm going to just watch the sun sparkle on the water. That's going to like light me up from just a day of emails and whatever else, and then I'll go get the kids. I mean, it just seems so benign.
At Bloom's home on Lena Loop Road, the ocean is practically part of her backyard, so she goes paddleboarding often. But this particular afternoon was far from routine. A few minutes into her paddle, she spotted a pod of orcas, four or five of them, out on the horizon. She took a video to send to her parents, but then she spotted a shadow underneath her.
I looked down, and I saw this white color, and then her fins sliced up out of the water.
Before she knew what was happening, a large female killer whale lifted her paddleboard up out of the water.
And at that moment, it was like terror.
The board bobbed as Bloom stood frozen. The whale circled her about half a dozen times, diving under the board and then spinning around to look up. Bloom said they made eye contact.
And then I started talking to her. I was like, I have kids. Please go away.
Eventually, the whale did go away, and Bloom was able to make it to shore safely, though she was really shaken up. But later that afternoon, the whale sidled up to Matt Musselwhite's red skiff. He was sailing near Point Louisa, just a few hundred yards down the shoreline. When he saw her black fins glistening at the surface of the water, he cut the engine to let the whale safely pass.
And instead, she just turned and charged right up to me and ran her dorsal fin down the side of the boat and went circled around the boat a couple of times and then took off to join the rest of her pack.
Musselwhite said the whale was gentle.
I think she might have been a curious teenager, just coming to check out my little boat.
Marine mammal specialist Susie Tierlink with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said there were at least three reports of close encounters with this orca, who was, in fact, a teenager, though no one has been able to identify the specific whale or the pod it belongs to. In a social media video posted by another paddler, the whale splashes around making circles before poking her head out and spraying from her blowhole. Tierlink said that most of the time, killer whales will keep their distance when they come across people.
At the same time, they're really smart, really curious animals. And they're at home in their environment, and if something strikes their curiosity, they might kind of push that envelope.
Tierlink said it's best for whales and people to keep our distance.
So we don't want killer whales to get, individuals to get too comfortable going up to people and getting that close to people.
So if you encounter a whale yourself, Tierlink's advice is to move away as quickly as possible. Orcas tend to migrate over large areas relatively quickly. So while they're pretty common in Juneau, the curious teenage whale and her pod have probably left the area by now. Bloom said learning more about the animal's curious nature has calmed her fears a bit. She feels there's a reputation around the meat-eating marine mammals, which made her feel more afraid in the moment.
We call them killer whales, which now I'm like, why do we have to call them that? Because it just makes them, like, scarier than they need to be.
And in the weeks since the close encounter, she's come to appreciate it, in a way.
This is so Alaska. Like, all you got to do is walk out your front door and, like, it's epic.
But for now, she's planning to paddleboard on Auk Lake instead. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News. And now taking a look at the weather for Sitka for today, Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. Today, showers mainly after 10 a.m., high near 50, southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. New precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half of an inch possible. Tonight, rain, low around 40, southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. New precipitation amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch possible. You're tuned in to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.